Well, today we're beginning a new sermon series. It's only going to be 3 weeks in length, and it's called The Three Big Questions for a Chaotic Family. Okay? Three Big Questions for a Chaotic Family. And I just want to say this up front. If you're an individual, and or maybe your family years, your kids are grown older and they're gone, they've moved on, this is also called the Three Big Questions for a Chaotic Life. So I want to make that clear that this is for every single person here this morning. No one will be left out, but it is called The Three Big Questions for a Chaotic Family. And basically, this series was inspired by this book right here. It's called The Three Big Questions for a Frantic Family, and it's a book written by a guy named Patrick Lencioni. By the way, has anyone ever heard of Patrick Lencioni? Anybody ever done any readings? He's a great writer. He's an even better speaker. I love listening to him speak because he's got ADD, so he's all over the place, and he's not sure where he was, and he'll try to get back, so it's a lot of fun to listen to him. So anyway, this is basically a book that is directed towards leadership in the business sector, in the business world. So after reading this book a couple times through late last year, what I did is I thought to myself that the content of this book would be very, very helpful for the people at church. It'd be very helpful for me, my family, for you. So what I did is I took some of his big ideas, some of his big thoughts, and I changed the language a little to simplify things so that we could all understand, because I realized that we're not all a part of the business world. Not many of us are part of the business world, and some of the terminology is a little different. So I wanted to bring it down to where I live, to where we live. And so with that in mind, we're going to begin this series called The Three Big Questions for a Chaotic Family. So we changed it up just a little. So that's the inspiration of this series. Okay, so let's just go for it. I want to begin today by sharing a visual illustration with you. Don't worry, folks, that I shared on Christmas Eve and once again last Sunday, okay? And this is going to be like the 32nd edition. So everybody's like, oh, I can't hear that again. But anyway, we said that that bag on the table represents what? Does anybody remember? Everybody say it together. Our life. That bag represents our life, okay? Well, what we're going to do for the sake of this series, we're going to say that not only does that bag represent our life, but we're going to say this, that bag represents also our families, okay? And what we said is that what we do is we often fill our lives with what? With all these different things. There's a lot of different things, sports, there's work, there's relationships. You can unload the bag later and see all the different things that we fill our lives with. If you were here for the last couple weeks, and we found out that those things can be positive, we found out that those things can be negative, we also found out that some of those things can actually be both, positive and negative, okay? And what we discovered last week and on Christmas Eve is sometimes that our life can become so full that our bag, our life is what? Overflowing. It can overflow, meaning that we only have a certain capacity of how much we can handle. And what happens is we kind of continually just shove more and more and more and more into our life. But I found that's true of families too, that we continue just to shove more and do more and be busier and busier than we've ever been before. And what happens is this overflowing brings what? Does anybody remember the word? It brings chaos. I want everybody to just say that word, chaos. Okay? So what should we do when our lives become chaotic? What should we do when our family becomes so chaotic that it seems like we no longer have any priorities, that we no longer have values? It just seems like we're going 100 miles an hour. We're trying to jump from one thing to the next thing, and it just seems like we're just sometime on the treadmill of life. We're moving, but we're really not going anywhere, okay? And what I want to suggest today, that the remedy for chaos is a word that's called order. Order. Everybody just say order. And that's what we need to do in our lives, and that's what we need to do in our families. We need to turn the chaos. I love that song we sang this morning. And that is, who brings chaos into order? And that's what we need to do, is we need to bring our chaotic lives into order, okay? And the reason why we want there to be order in our life is because where there's order, there's peace. And if I were to take a survey of people and families, I'd say on a scale 1 to 10, how do you feel like your peace level is? A lot of people would say, well, it's probably down here. There's not much peace. And the reason why is because there's all this chaos. There's all this chaos. And what we need to do is we need to bring order so that we can bring peace. Okay? So here's the question I want to begin with this morning. How can we bring order to our chaos? How can we bring order to chaos? Okay? And this is what I want to talk about for the remainder of our time together this morning. How do you bring order to chaos? Okay? So how can we do this? How can we do it for us as an individual? Maybe you're here and you're not a part of a family right now. Your kids are gone. How can you bring order to your life? How can you bring order to your family? Okay? And here's the key word that I want to camp out on this morning is this. If you're going to bring order to your chaos, you need to have, let's look at the next word. Everybody say that. Clarity. Clarity. I don't think that makes a lot of sense to quite a few people here this morning, that clarity will bring order to my chaos. I want you to digest that for a minute. Order, or clarity will bring order to my chaos. Okay, the key word there is clarity. It's essential that we are people that we live our lives with clarity. We live with a clear focus, clear direction. Where are we heading? We've got to be very clear, okay? By the way, most people live their lives day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. They live their lives and they really don't have an exacting clarity. It's almost like this is life. Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will what? Will be. And we live our lives just in this routine. These are the things that we have to do each and every day. This is our schedule. We get up and we just live life one day at a time. And the fact of the matter is, a lot of people don't have a real clarity of why they're even living their life. A lot of families don't have a real clarity of what's really, really, really important. And what we do is we go through the motions of our responsibility. And the fact is, clarity really never becomes a big thought for a lot of people. So what I want to do in the next couple weeks is I want to attack our chaotic life. I want to attack that chaos with clarity. That is my sole goal in this response or in this series, is to make sure that you're living life with clarity. You're living your family with clarity. You're leading your family with clarity, okay? And I want us to be, what I want us to do is I want you to be thoughtful of how you're living your life. I want you to be thoughtful about how you're leading your family. Because time is short, life is quick. Let's not waste it. Let's not just be always in chaos and having no peace, but let's make sure that we have what? Clarity, okay? You're here today and you're asking this question, why do we need clarity? Think about that for a minute. Why do you think, don't respond out loud, but why do you think we need clarity? We need clarity because actually, and by the way, this is the answer to the very first question that every chaotic person, every chaotic family needs to ask. And here's the question. This is why you need clarity, okay? Let's look at the next. This is the first question. What do we need to be clear about? Question number one. As individuals, as families, the first thing that we need to be clear about is this. What is most important to our family? I hope you're writing this down. What is most important to our family? Or you could rephrase it like this. What matters most to our family, okay? Or maybe you're in here today and you're not in that family stage of life. This is the question for you. What is the most important? What's most important to me as a person? Or what matters most to me, okay? So that's the very first question that we're going to ask. That's the question we're going to address today, and that is it. And I want you to do this because I think a lot of people think they know the answer, but have you really ever taken the time to really think about it? Have you really ever taken the time to really sit down? Have you ever taken the time to have a discussion with your spouse? Have you ever taken the time to have a discussion with your children? And the question is, what's most important to our family? What is the thing that matters the most to me. See, what we need to do is we need to be people that we're living life with clarity, okay? So what's the most important thing? What matters the most, okay? We need to have a clarity about what is most important, okay? What matters most to us? What matters most to our families? And this is a question that needs to be answered. As I said, husbands and wives. By the way, if I were, and I am, so this would address us specifically. If I was a family where I still had kids that were at least in middle school and high school, I would include them in this conversation. I would include them in this conversation, okay? I would even say, do it as soon as possible. I would even say, maybe take them out to eat today. And maybe at lunch today or sometime real soon, as soon as possible, I would suggest that you sit down with your spouse and you sit down with your mature kids and you begin to have a question and answer time, interaction. And I would say this as parents, this would even be better, let your kids answer first. You might be surprised with what you hear your kids say. You might even be surprised with what you hear your spouse say. If you ask them point blank, all answers can be on the table. It's not what you, it may not be what you think I may want to hear, but give your kids that freedom. Ask them point blank, say, what do you think is most important to this family? And you people that are single, you need to look in the mirror or have a discussion with other people and say, what is the most important thing? You might be surprised what you hear. And here, this is what I would love the most. If you would give answers that are honest, that you would give answers that are sincere, that you wouldn't give the answers that you think the other person would want to hear. Okay? Let's do an exercise right now. I'm not talking about a physical exercise. And some of you are like, shoo, let's not start the year out that way. Okay? Let's do an exercise and... We do this a little differently at this church, especially on days when we're smaller like today. And what I want to do is I want to do an exercise, and I want to ask this question. If we were to take a survey of people living right here in the city of River Falls, and we took a survey of families living right here in River Falls or Ellsworth or wherever you're from, if we were to take a survey with this question, how do you think people would answer? Here's the question. What is the most important thing to your family? What matters most to your family? So I want you to think about that this morning, and I want some people just to answer out loud in order, because we're not into chaos here. We're into order. By the way, how many people know God's a God of order? Amen? So let me just ask, and we're not talking about us. Of course not us. This is other people, okay? We're way beyond some of these answers. But anyway... And I say that jokingly, okay? Everybody relax. What are some of the things that families in River Falls would say are the most important things? Anyone? Health. Someone said health. Would we agree with that? Health. Family. Wow. Family. That was on my list for sure. Health was on my list. Family.
Happiness.
Happiness. That's a... People in River Falls would say the biggest deal for my family is that we're happy. They would say that we're healthy. A lot of people, we live in a very child-oriented community, family-oriented community. And I don't know a parent out there that doesn't want the best for their kids. That's just the way it is. We want the best for our kids. So we have health, we have family, we have happiness. What are some other things that people in River Falls might say are very important? Families. Is that what we just said, families? Balance. I love that. Balance. Come on, you guys. We're not being too risky yet. Say that again, please. Don't raise your hand, but how many people would love the idea of being financially secure? I'll raise my hand. That's a nice thing. Financial security is a big, big thing. That would be, some families would say that's most important is financial security. We're almost done. Let's just answer maybe two more answers. What are some things that you feel like people in River Falls would say are most important to families? What's that? Ooh, education. That's important. We're getting real close to that in our family. Education. Where's Grant going to go to college? That's a big question. It's a scary question for Dad, okay? What are some other things? You guys are getting so conservative today.
Success.
Okay, I think you guys are starting to get to the point. These are the things that if we were to ask people in our community what is most important, they would say these things are most important, okay? I think that's real important. And I think if we were to ask those same questions to us here in this room today, I think a lot of those answers would be identical. They would be the same, okay? So here's the next question. Remember all the answers. Remember financial comfort, security, making money, families, balance. Remember all those things. Family, keeping up with the Joneses. We can't use that phrase anymore here because we have a Jones here. Sorry, Patrick, but keeping up with the Joneses, that's tough. Being happy, church, health, okay? Now, here's the next question. You need to really focus in here. Here's the next question. Why is it important that you answer that question? Don't answer it. I just want you to think. Why is it important that you have clarity to the answer to that question? Why is that important? You're thinking, Mike, we're wasting time. We haven't even opened the Bible yet. Well, we will today, so hold on tight. Why is it important that we have a clarity in that we answer this question? I want you to give me your best ear for the next 2 minutes. This is why it's important that you know as a family what's most important. This is why it's important that you as an individual know what's the most important thing in your life. Listen carefully, and I'll read it. Once we've determined what is most important, we have established a context for making decisions that will guide our life and will guide our family. Does that make sense? Once you sit down and you discover that this is what's most important and you say, not only is it important with my language, we're going to live this way. We're not only going to say it, we're going to live it. Once you've done that, that's going to help you make decisions that will face your family each and every day. Some of those decisions might be small, some might be very big, but you better figure this one out. You better have clarity of this first. What's the most important thing? What's the big thing, okay? Because that will be your North Star. Does everybody know what I mean by North Star? The North Star they would look up to for direction. People would look to the, where am I going? Maybe I'm lost. Well, I look up to my North Star for direction. That's what this answer to this question is all about. It's your North Star. It gives you direction, okay? It provides a foundation for everything else you do. For everything else you do, this will provide a foundation. It will be your North Star. It's the most important thing. Here's the deal. Every one of you already has something in your life that's most important. Every family already has something in your life that's most important, but here's the deal. Most people don't have a clarity about it, or most people haven't really thought about it. You may not even be able, you may not have ever verbalized it or written it down, but everybody already has determined in one way or another what's most important. And what I'm doing in this series is I just want you to stop and be intentional. Stop and be intentional about what's most important. Okay? By the way, in future, when I do premarital counseling, I think this is going to be one of the biggest questions that I'm going to sit down and ask couples. It'd be interesting to ask them separately, without the other one knowing what's the most important thing. What would it be like to find out maybe there are two people that have two opposite answers? Could that be happening in homes in this family, in this church? That if you were to ask one spouse, they would give this answer. If you were to ask the other spouse, they would give a different answer. If you were to ask their kids, they would give a totally different answer. The point of this series is to bring clarity and understanding to what's most important so everybody can get on the same bus, so that everybody can be heading the same direction. Instead of people going left, right, east, south, west, north, but you have a whole family, okay? So that's very, very important. Because here's the deal. If you say that if you say this, the most important thing in my life is to make money, it's always funny, nobody really ever says that. Because you almost feel like, oh, we can't say that the most important thing in my life is to make money. Well, we may not say it, but I tell you what, there's a lot of people that live that way. Can we be honest in church? Well, if that's your North Star, making money, I want to let you know that may cause some damage in some other areas, particularly like relationships. I know of a lot of fathers that their top priority is to make money and they jeopardize the relationship with their spouse and with their kids. Ouch. Or if you say our North Star is to, what were some of the other things? Family. We got to figure that out because that's going to determine every other decision we make. If I say my North Star is church, I'm going to do everything I can to be at church. And when I got to make some of those other decisions about, will my kids do this or will my kids do that, I got to think about that. If one of my most important things in life, for example, is that I make sure that I live within my means and not live beyond my means to put me in debt, when I make decisions, sometimes I'm going to have to learn how to say, everybody say the word, no. Okay? Like, for example, in our family, we're just not in that financial position where if our sons wanted to play, like, on a traveling AAU team, that never even becomes an issue because automatically they know the answer is what? No. Why? Because we can't live beyond our means. We can't do it financially. We can't even do it time-wise. So is everybody understanding what I'm saying here? Please shake your head. At least fake it until you make it. You got to figure out with clarity that this is who we are. We may not be like the people that live on the right. We may not be like the rest of the people that live on our street or in our cul-de-sac. But this is us. And we're not going to waver. We're not going to worry about the pressure of everybody else and what every other family's doing. That's their business. But for us, this is what's most important. And as a result, this is what we do and what we what? Don't do. Is everybody hearing me this morning? I feel like I'm losing you. Are you on the bus? Is everybody going do south together? Are we on the same bus? A great example of someone who understood what was most important to him and his family was a man in the Bible named Joshua. How many people have ever heard of Joshua? Joshua is a rock star. You say, who is Joshua? He was a man who had a big time responsibility that God had given him. Okay, his responsibility is that God called him to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. How many people know the story? Moses. How many people have heard of Moses? Moses had a big responsibility. God's chosen people, the Israelites, were in captivity in the land of what? Egypt. They were there for over 400 years. They were crying out. God heard their cry. So God raises up Moses, and Moses leads them out of Egypt through the Red Sea. But we know that they don't reach the promised land, but they're in a holding tank for a period of what? About 40 years, called the what? The wilderness. Here's the sad part of the story. The leader, Moses, dies. So here are all these millions of people. They're out there with no leader, but here's what God does. He raises up another leader whose name is what? Joshua. You guys are great Bible students. Joshua. So I want to let you know, Joshua has some big, big shoes to fill. He is following Moses as the leader of this vast group of people. And with the Lord's help, if you know the story, with the Lord's help, Joshua leads the people out of the wilderness into what? Into the promised land, into the land that is overflowing with milk and honey and blessing and God's provision, a great place to be. And you can read about all of Joshua's doing in the book called Joshua, okay? I'm sorry, that wasn't a trick question. Joshua, okay? As we enter the final chapter of the book of Joshua, it's chapter, I think it's 24, we read that Joshua now is this elderly gentleman. He's been through a lot. He's a commander. He's a colonel. He's a warrior. He's a man's man leading the people into God's promise. And at the very close to the end of his life, what he does is he calls all the people together. He says, everybody come together. We're going to have this big assembly of people come together. Okay? And what he wants to do in this last talk is he wants to share his final words with the people. How many people know final words are usually words of great, great weight and importance? Okay? Okay, so that's what's happening in chapter 24. And he begins this speech by declaring all the good things that God has done for the people. He's declared how it started all the way back with Abraham, and God made Abraham the father of many nations. He continues the story by talking about Moses and how God chose Moses to lead the people out of the Egyptian captivity. So he's sharing and he's bragging and he's boasting and he's praising and he's worshiping God for all the great things that have happened. He's giving all the credit to God. He's not taking any of the credit. He's basically saying if God wasn't for us, we'd be in a world of mess. Okay? So he's getting really excited about God. He has put these people in the place where they're at today. Okay? What I want to do today is I want to just close by reading three verses that are found in the end of chapter 24, okay? And I want them, they're on the screen, I want you to follow with me. This is the words of his speech. We're going to read the speech, okay? Let's pick it up in verse 13. Joshua speaking to people says, I have given you, he's talking for God now, he says, I have given you the land you did not work on. I gave you towns that you did not build. The towns you're living in right now, they're in the promised land. I gave you vineyards and olive groves for food, though you did not plant them. So fear the Lord and serve him. Everybody say this word together, wholeheartedly, okay? Put away forever the idols, because there were idols all around your ancestors had worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord, what? Alone. Verse 15, and I think some of you might even have this verse on your wall at home. But he concludes by talking to the people. He says, but if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. I think that's a great reflection point there, is we're all going to serve something. I think somebody wrote a song about that years ago. We're all going to serve something. We're all going to serve someone. And Joshua, this old man, says, if you're not going to serve the Lord, you need to choose whom you will serve. And then he goes on, he says, would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the God of the Amorites in whose land you're now living? So he's throwing out all these different choices of people that you can, or idols and gods that they could serve. But I love this part. This is what you have on your wall at home. Joshua says this, but as for me, in my house, or I like it even better in the NLT, as for me and my what? Family. We will what? Serve the Lord. I want us to all read that last part together. Everybody together. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. What's Joshua doing here? What's he saying here? He's saying that for him, but not only for him, but for his family, the most important thing they discovered is that this is their thing. As for me and my family, we're going to do this. This is most important. We're going to do what? Serve the Lord. What's he doing here? He's bringing clarity. He's making it clear that he and his family were not going to get caught up serving all the other gods, all the other idols of their day. And they were out there. They were all over the place. But he's bringing clarity to say, hey, this is what I'm going to do. And here, I'm the dad. This is what my family's going to do. We're going to serve the Lord. And as a result, everything else we do will be determined by that. Everything else we do is going to be determined by what's most important to us. And I love the clarity of Joshua saying, hey, the Smiths may do this. The Brown family may do this. The Huxtables may be doing this. The Waltons may be doing that. That's their business. But for me, for my family, you know what we're going to do? We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord, the one who delivers us out of Egypt. We're going to serve the Lord who brought us out of the wilderness for 40 years and brought us into this great land of plenty and prosperity, the promised land. That's the God we're going to serve. That's the most important thing to this family. That's what we're going to make all of our decisions around. All of our decisions are going to be centered on that fact that we're going to serve the Lord. So this is what I want you to do, and I would beg you. Can I beg? I would even double dog dare you. This is my homework for you this week. Answer this question. Answer question number one for a chaotic life and family. Answer this question. Please write it down. What is most important to our family? Write it down. What matters most to this family? I think it would be so cool if we would do this together with our spouse, with our kids. By the way, guys, we're going to have some fun at lunch today. And it'd be fun if we really live with clarity. Because if you're not clear, you can get caught up in just the wind of whatever happens today will happen today, whatever happens tomorrow will do. We'll just survive with, hopefully the day our kids will all be out of diapers. Hopefully the day will come when they're all out of school. Hopefully the day will come when this happens, and that's how we live, but we don't live with clarity. Very, very few people are living life with clarity of what's the most important thing in their life. And because that's most important, that's the foundation for me making my decisions, for me making my choices. If you're single today, you single people better find out what's most important. Before you even think about a spouse, or I would even say a boyfriend or girlfriend, don't you think it's just reasonable that you hook up with somebody else that has the same thing that's important to them as you do? I tell you what, Heather and I, when we were in premarital counseling, we took a test. They were trying to figure out what we were compatible with, all the different things. There were 15 different questions. We only were compatible in two areas. And we're still married 20 years later. Number two thing we were compatible was we both had an understanding of how we were going to raise our kids. Was that right? But number one, you know what we were most compatible about? And we took these tests separately. We didn't know each other's answers. But we found out that we were most compatible about that we would serve the Lord, our relationship with Him. And I'm here today to tell you with humility that if that wasn't our number one, who knows where we'd be today? But because that's been our number one, that has formed our decision-making. That has formed our decision-making on what we will do with our time, what we will do with our treasure. Are you hearing me this morning? There's got to be clarity in the home to break the chaos. There's got to be clarity in your life to break the chaos. You better have an understanding of this is what's most important. In the book, he doesn't question it, what's most important. He questions it, what's your values? So here's what I want you to do. Make a date with your spouse. Make a date with your mature kids. And sit down and have a conversation. It won't take long. It won't be hard because it should flow not from here. It should flow from here. And answer the question, what's most important to me? What's most important to us? And I have two suggestions. Do this assignment together with your family ASAP, ASAP, as soon as possible. Do it before next Sunday, because if not, you'll be lost. Can I double dog dare you? And if you're older today and your kids have moved on, why don't you just stop right now in your life and ask, here I am. I'm advancing in age. What's most important to me now? Maybe you're a grandparent. Say, what's most important to me now? We've got to do this. We've got to bring clarity. We've got to live our life with purpose. We've got to live our life intentional before it's too late. And my second suggestion is this. Please listen to me carefully, every person. Be honest. Don't try to be like another family or like another person. Don't try to be like the answer you think Pastor Mike might want to hear. You got to be gut honest. What is it that's most important to you? What is it that's most important to this family? I wish I would have read this book. I wish I would have wrote it. I would have had a lot of royalties by now. But I wish I could have read this book 20 years ago. I wish I could have read this book before I had kids. Because I have to admit, there's times I was just in survival mode. What would have happened if I would have lived intentional for like the last 20 years as a husband, as a father, and say, for crying out loud. I love that word, for crying out loud. Is that a word or many words? Is it a multitude of words? Is it three words? For crying out loud. Oh, my dad always used to say that, for crying out loud. But anyway, it would have been great if we would have lived this way. So get together. Talk. Be honest. Don't try to be like the Cleavers. You're not going to be like Ward Cleaver. Thank God I can wear a suit every day of my life. But I want to challenge you. Jump out of chaos. Come into a life of order. And the order comes when you begin to finally say, this is who I am. Unashamedly. Not worrying about what any other person, what any other family says. This is what's most important. And by the way, this is also a question that we as a church have to answer. What's the most important thing to us as a church? Well, the most important thing is on the front of your bulletin every week. And the thing that matters most is that we proclaim Jesus Christ and we lead people into a growing relationship with Him, because we believe that's the best way to live life. Amen? So, Lord, we just come before You today and we just thank You for one another. We thank You for the mighty man of Joshua, who had a clarity about himself to say that for me and my house, we're going to do this. This is how we're going to live our lives. This is where we're heading. This is our direction. This is our North Star. And Lord, I just pray that You would help people, because I think that some of this could be very awkward. But Lord, I just pray, God, that we'll be able to sit and have conversations with those who are closest to us, to those who are important to us, to those You have placed in our lives. And Father, I just pray, God, that You'd bring clarity to individuals, where they're heading in life, to families, to our church. May we have a clarity of what we're doing, what this is all about, where we're heading. May we be intentional about living the life that You have given us, this great gift. So Lord, I just pray, God, that You'll be in those conversations. I pray that those conversations will bring enlightenment. And Lord, I just pray for Your help. Pray for Your help in Jesus' name. And everyone said,